Achim, Shabbat Shalom. Haftarah portion, the double Haftarah portion that we have that you've already all read is from the book of Amos, chapter 9, verse 7 through 15. And for Kedoshim, it's Ezekiel 22 to 20. For my purposes, I want to focus a little bit more on Amos than I will Ezekiel. We teach a lot from Ezekiel, but very seldom do we speak of from Amos. So in Hebrew, there's no sound. So his name isn't Amos, it's Amos. It would be the pronunciation. So here we have this relatively short book of a prophet, and that we all many times tend to just thumb over when we're reading. But Amos has one of the harshest declarations against Israel than any other prophet, Ezekiel included. So who is Amos? He was. They consider him a minor prophet, but when you hear the harshness of his prophecy against Israel, it's not going to be very minor. He was a farmer and a herdsman, but specifically, he grew sycamore trees. I encourage you to go search that out. That's going to be interesting. He lived in the 8th century BC, so you're gonna see in Luke, you're gonna see him mention a person by the name of Amos. That Amos lived in the 3rd century, or about the 3rd century BC. So it's not the same Amos that's mentioned in the genealogy that Luke lays out. So if you're wondering, they're two different Amos. His name means a burden. Now, I don't know what happened that a mother and a father would decide to name their child to give it a destiny that has a name burden, but it's very clear that his burden was a message that he was going to carry prior to his people being taken off into captivity. So looking at Amos, I focused on one thing that he said in verse 9. It said, "For behold, I command, I will scatter the house of Israel among the nations, as it is shaken in a sieve, and not a coarse particle falls to earth." So there's two things in that verse that I'm looking at. You know, when you look through the entire Torah, you have to understand that God uses scattering of his people for two things, judgment and preservation. The fact that he scatters them, the reason that there are Jews in almost every corner of the earth is because he has scattered them. Well, that's also the key to their survival, because you got to go to four corners of the earth to find them all. You can't find us all. So that's one of the things. But he's talking about not a coarse particle. That's what's going to be thrown away. Now, there's metaphor here, but you know, we're talking about clumps that are not going to be sifted out. And what are these clumps? You know, I don't know. Are they denominations? And I really don't know. But I think we have an idea that they're stuck together for a reason, and they're obstructive, and they're being obstructed by the Lord's sifting. And when he is done sifting, that's going to be cast away as dross. That's going to be trashed. So we don't want to be the coarse particle. So that's kind of just what I wanted to focus on that. In his declaration of judgment against Israel, he basically tells them, you are no different than the Philistines or the Aramaeans. Now, I talked last week about last week, I believe, about Naaman, who came from Syria. Now, he was an Aramean that was brought back into the fold of Israel and in the ways of God. I don't know about you, but you know, when you're being chastised, you don't want to be compared to someone else. You know, you're just like your mother. You know, he's just like his father. He does this or whatever. You know, nobody wants to be compared to anyone, not even other family members a lot of times. And that's, I don't know, that's kind of weird. Somebody said, you're just like your father. The first thing we think of is the negative things about our father that we're being associated with, or the negative things about the mother. But he literally tells Israel, and in the course of judgment, do you really think you're any different than these Philistines? Do you think I won't destroy you like I'll destroy these Philistines or these Arameans? So this is why the prophecy of Amos is very frightening. It's extremely, extremely frightening to me. Because he's basically telling them that, yeah, I chose you and I can sift you and I can destroy what's not good in you, and nothing escapes. And I think that's the basic message that you will see in Amos 9, is that there's no escape from it. The entire book of Amos is a harsh book. I identify with Amos. This guy had a burden, and his burden was bad news. And he had to deliver it. I feel like I've been delivering bad news all my life. And that's why I enjoy this so much, because I finally, for the first time in my life, I get to deliver, I hope, some good news for you. But this can land on your head as bad news if you're not in the right place. But I will have to say this. He also ends his book in one of the most amazing promises that I don't think any of the other prophets have ever done. Now, we've always talked about how, you know, every time Israel's in judgment, he judges them, he talks about judgment, all these things he's going to do to them, but he always leaves that little banner of hope that comes out of the end. So I'm going to read this, and I'm going to explain. I went into some Eastern context to find out what this means, and I'll share it with you. So at the end of that, he basically tells them, once again, as he's done so many times, is I'm going to judge you, I'm going to sift you, I'm going to scatter you, I'm going to destroy many of you, but don't worry, I'm going to leave some. There's going to always be that remnant. There's always going to be that hope. He says, behold, days are coming, says the Lord, that the plowman shall meet the reaper, and the treader of the grapes, the one who gathers the seed, they'll meet each other. And the mountains shall drip sweet wine, and the hills shall melt. Now, this melting is not a catastrophe. This is a melting like a honey. This is like honey coming out of a comb. And I will return the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild desolate cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink their wine. And they shall make gardens and eat their produce. And I will plant them on their land, and they shall no longer be uprooted from upon their land. No longer be uprooted from their land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. Now, if your mind went to Israel right now, you would pretty much be right on the mark. When I was there, 2015, for 3 weeks, I was in a town of Ramla. If nobody really, not Ramallah, but a little town called Ramla. Ramla is sort of southeast of Jerusalem, or almost directly south. What you don't know is when Saladin came against Jerusalem and he established rule over that entire region, does anybody know where the capital was? It wasn't Jerusalem. It was Ramla. And we were dropped off in a bus at this mall, and I just started walking outside. And I walked behind the mall, and there were old ruins. They were not Roman ruins. They were older than Roman ruins. And that was the old gate, and it just sat in a bunch of trees. And now Ramla is an Israeli town. So I point that out, that this was once the capital of Arab Israel when they ruled over the land. So I wanted to share that with you, that about Amos. He's extremely burdened. He carries that burden. He carries a burdenous message. The one thing in his judgment I just want to point out, though, is the arrogance of the people at the time. They really believed that they were immune to judgment. That's why this judgment is so harsh. But I want to bring you back to the Brit Hadashah, which is the New Testament, and not forget that He has said that He can make stones cry out. He does not need us, but we certainly need Him. So He does not wait for us in that respect. So anyway, you know a little bit more about Amos now, I believe. Thank you.